I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Saturday, March 20th, and today I'm talking with two of the four people who will be making history later this year as part of the world's first all-civilian crew going to space. That's right, no traditionally trained astronaut will be on board. And my first guest, Haley Arsenault, will be making history in more ways than one. She will also be the first child cancer survivor in space, the first person with a prosthetic body part in space, and at 29 years old, she'll be the youngest American to visit space. My second guest is the billionaire partnering with SpaceX to make this Inspiration4 mission possible. He's paying the way for himself and three others to join him. Jared Isaacman is the founder and CEO of the payment processing company Shift4. He's also a pilot who co-founded the defense aerospace company Draken International. Now, with his upcoming historic space launch later this year, where the team will spend a few days in Earth's orbit, he's donating and raising millions of dollars for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So here are my conversations, starting with the inspiring child cancer survivor, physician assistant, and soon-to-be history-making space traveler, Haley Arsenault. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Haley. Thanks for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you are going to make history in a lot of different ways. What does all of that mean to you? And is there one of those that really means the most?
You know, what I'm actually most excited about is being the first pediatric cancer survivor to go to space, because of what this is going to show to so many other kids who are fighting the same battle that I fought 19 years ago. And just getting to be part of this mission and what it represents, like you said, means so much to me. It's an incredible honor.
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit more about that. I mean, this mission is raising money and awareness for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And I know you work there now. And as you mentioned, you were first a patient as a child. So tell us a little bit about what you went through and how that led you to this moment.
I was diagnosed with bone cancer at age 10. And the diagnosis rocked my world. You know, until I was diagnosed with cancer, I was really active. I had just gotten my black belt in Taekwondo, and I started having pain in my leg, and it got worse. I started limping, and then my mom noticed a tumor above my left knee. And we went to the doctor the next day, and I'll never forget, she came in the room and just told us straightforward, this is bone cancer. And we all fell apart. And at age 10, everyone I had known with cancer had died. And I thought this diagnosis was a death sentence. And it really wasn't until I got to St. Jude a few days later that I felt hope. And I felt like I was going to be okay. And then I spent a year at St. Jude undergoing intense chemo and then surgery that removed the part of my bone that was affected by the tumor and saved my leg. And, you know, while it was a difficult year physically, I think it was the most important year of my life, and it made me who I am. And I loved St. Jude. And so I knew I wanted to work at St. Jude when I got older. And really, for 19 years, all I've ever wanted to do is work at St. Jude. And last year, I got my dream job. It's been incredible. I think I have the greatest job in the whole world.
Congratulations. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you do now.
I'm a PA, a physician assistant, and I work inpatient with kids with leukemia and lymphoma.
So part of your process when you were a patient at St. Jude was, my understanding is, getting metal rods in your leg. And in the past, having metal rods in your leg would have meant that you would not meet NASA's physical requirements for going to space, right? So tell us how that has changed and what it means to you to be part of that change.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I'm actually really excited about this first all-civilian mission to space and just these doors that it's opening, because you're absolutely right. I could have never been a traditional astronaut because of this big metal rod in my leg. This mission, I hope, is really changing what people imagine an astronaut will look like. And you no longer have to be physically perfect to go to space.
And in some ways, I imagine the challenges that you've gone through has actually prepared you more than others might be prepared for something like this.
You know, I would like to think so. I think having cancer made me tough, and it definitely taught me to expect the unexpected and to keep a positive attitude no matter what you're going through. So I do think that it's prepared me to go to space.
So tell us about that moment when you first found out. What went through your mind when you were told about this opportunity?
I was in shock. So St. Jude had something they wanted to talk to me about. That's all I knew. And then they started telling me about this mission, Inspiration 4. And I think what actually went through my mind was, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so I said yes without hesitation. And they definitely encouraged me to think about it and to talk to my family. But so I talked to my mom and my brother and sister-in-law, who are both aerospace engineers, and they were all fully supportive. And so I was able to say yes, knowing that my family was going to be by my side.
And I know you must be excited, but are you honestly a little nervous, scared? What else are you feeling?
I'm honestly not nervous. You know, I think I'll have jitters on launch day, but at this point, I'm just so excited and just so honored to have been chosen to be part of this.
So for people who might not be familiar, explain what that really means to be an all-civilian crew. Does that mean no one on board really knows what to do if something goes wrong?
We are going to be well-trained. So we're all civilians. We're all coming from different walks of life. None of us are traditional astronauts, but we are going through a training regimen this year that we are going to be FAA classified commercial astronauts at the end of training. I am so excited to just learn about something that's completely outside of my day-to-day life. You know, my regular life is medicine, and I'm going to learn some rocket science and how to live in space. And I am going to be the medical officer of this flight. And so my medical training will come in handy.
I understand that you had hoped that you would visit all 7 continents before you turned 30. You're 29 now. So does going to space make up for maybe not hitting that goal?
Oh, my goodness. Going to space makes up for anything ever. I actually did ask my brother the day they asked me to go to space. I said, am I going to get a passport stamp for going to space? And he said no. And so I said, well, I'm just going to draw some stars and the moon in one of my passport pages. But I do plan to continue traveling after this mission and continue meeting other cultures and getting new life experiences, because I think travel is so important. I never thought I would be going to space, but I am just so incredibly excited to be going.
Still ahead, I talk with the billionaire making this mission happen. Jared Isaacman tells me why he wanted to be part of this historic all-civilian space launch, the type of training they'll be doing this year to get ready, and why he wanted to make it possible for anyone to join him for the ride. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by America's leading beverage companies, who are working together to reduce plastic waste in our environment. Not all plastic is the same. America's beverage companies are carefully designing 100% recyclable plastic bottles, including the caps. Their bottles are made to be remade, and they're investing in community recycling programs to help get more bottles back so they can be turned into material used to make new bottles. That completes the circle and reduces plastic waste. Please help get every bottle back. Learn more at everybottleback.org. Again, that's everybottleback.org. This episode is also brought to you by Fitbod. There's no better feeling than finding your stride in your workout, and I'm definitely someone who needs someone else to tell me what to do to really get going and have a better, more efficient workout. Well, Fitbod makes it easy to find exercises at the right pace and intensity for you so you can get the results that you want. Yes, Fitbod builds a fitness program that continually adapts to you, and right now you can get 25% off a Fitbod membership. It's easy for me to get bored of the same workout routine over and over again, so I really like that Fitbod helps keep things fresh. And the workouts are balanced to avoid overworking muscles. There's also the issue of budget, because personalized training can be pretty expensive. But Fitbod is only $9.99 a month or $59.99 a year. So build the momentum to carry your fitness journey through the rest of the year with Fitbod. And get 25% off a membership when you sign up now at fitbod.me/newsworthy. That's 25% off your membership at fitbod.me/newsworthy. Okay, now to my conversation with Jared Isaacman. Hi, Jared. Thanks for coming on The Newsworthy.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So tell us how this mission got started in the first place and why you wanted to be part of it.
Well, sure. So I've been an aviation and space enthusiast since I was like in kindergarten. And I played, you know, flight simulators as a kid. You know, ironically, I actually went to Aviation Challenge, which is like the fighter jet version of Space Camp. So I wound up being very fortunate to have an interesting aviation career where I've, you know, done some world record flights and I've flown in air shows. And, you know, along the way, I kind of kept knocking on the door of the, you know, early commercial space industry and just saying, you know, whenever it gets to the point that you're going to send people other than like NASA astronauts to space, why don't you, you know, keep me in mind? And I was persistent and I just kept knocking on that door. And then it was only like 4 or 5 months ago, kind of reiterated my interest. And they said, well, we think we're ready. And it may happen a lot quicker than you might think. And I was just totally blown away because I never would have thought I would have had the opportunity to lead, you know, the first all-civilian mission to space. Like, that's a major first, and that it could happen so soon, like the end of this year.
Why Haley Arsenault for one of the other three tickets? Tell us how that process went and why you chose her.
For sure. Well, it all starts with that this is the first all-civilian mission to space. This is the first time that you didn't have like a superpower like the United States or Russia or, you know, or China that's sending people into orbital space. It's a big deal. And a first like that comes with, you know, a lot of responsibility. So we wanted to be really thoughtful about, you know, the organization we hope to benefit from this mission, which is St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And we wanted to be really thoughtful about the crew members that we were going to take and what each one of them represents. And ideally, an inspiring message that each one of them can deliver. So we came up with our mission pillars of leadership, hope, generosity, and prosperity. And we wanted a crew member to represent every one of those pillars. Now, Haley Arsenault represents hope. I can't think of anyone better to represent the mission spirit of hope. And I think she's going to inspire a lot of people, many of which may never want to be astronauts, but may, you know, encounter difficult times in their lives and, you know that they can have hope to overcome that adversity and still kind of, you know, live out your dream.
And you're donating $100 million to St. Jude Research. You're also hoping to raise another $100 million as part of this process. Why that cause?
I guess I just think about, you know, how lucky I've been in life, how fortunate I am. You know, the ball has certainly bounced my way several times. It has to wind up in the position that I've found myself in. And then I think about all the families and all the children, you know, that were dealt a really lousy hand in life. And some of them will never grow up to experience anything close to what I've, you know, been able to experience. And it's not right. And we have to do something about it. And it almost feels like irresponsible, you know, to go and, you know, push boundaries in space and land on other planets and, you know, explore the universe if you don't take care of some of the problems you have here on Earth. And childhood cancer is one of those that we've got to get under control.
And one of the ways that you're looking to raise money for this cause is through a public raffle to get one of those seats. It's closed now, but people could donate to St. Jude to get entries. And what really stood out to me about this process and the way that you set it up is that it wouldn't just allow another wealthy person from buying up millions and millions of entries into this raffle and having the best chance. So explain how that works and why you wanted to do it that way.
Yeah, so that was certainly by design. I mean, we absolutely could have just, you know, auctioned the seat off for St. Jude, and it still would have been a great thing to do because it would have raised a lot of money for a great cause. But, you know, what I, you know, said to St. Jude is, look, I would rather, you know, donate the money, which is that first $100 million contribution, and make our generosity seat available to everyone. Let anyone make a donation on St. Jude, on our Inspiration for Mission website to a really great cause like St. Jude. And then someone at random, you know, would get selected and have this opportunity to join us on this mission. I think it was the better approach because it energized like tens of thousands of people who maybe never knew about the St. Jude Mission, didn't understand what they're trying to accomplish, and were moved by it and made a donation. And then, you know, one of them has been rewarded in being selected for this space mission.
Can you tell us anything about that person? Give us some breaking news.
I mean, I can tell you that, you know, the way the generosity seat played out, it wasn't a millionaire who bought up all the seats. It was just a good person trying to, you know, contribute to a good cause.
So as you mentioned, this is the first all-civilian crew going to space. So no one on board has traditional astronaut training. I know you're a pilot. I know you own a defense aerospace company. But still, are you feeling a little bit nervous or scared about this particular mission?
Well, I'm not scared at all about the safety of the spacecraft. You know, I'm immensely, you know, confident in what SpaceX has, you know, pioneered with Falcon 9 and Dragon spacecraft. I mean, these are the people who land rockets on boats in the sea. Like, they're incredible. So very confident about that. Yeah, if we were launching to space tomorrow, I would say, you know, it's not probably great to have four all civilians going to space, but we're not launching tomorrow. We're launching at the end of the year. And, you know, the FAA says we're going to be commercial astronauts, which means we got an awful lot of training from now until then to make sure we're really well prepared to execute on the mission. And I'm confident, having reviewed the training plan, that we're all going to get there.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what that training will entail.
So it's a lot. There's a whole academic portion. So it's not all about just throwing the switches. You have to know what's happening when you do throw that switch. And then there's a simulation element to, you know, apply the knowledge you learn from academics. So, you know, can you operate everything when it's normal? Yep, that should be, you know, pretty easy to do. It's pretty, you know, autonomous spacecraft in that regard. Okay, can you do what you're supposed to do in abnormal circumstances, or even worse, potentially emergency circumstances? So that's a lot of the training. And we do that, you know, alongside mission control. And then there's just some fun stuff. You know, there's like water survival training. There is pad safety, which is where you basically zip line off the top of pad 39A in case there was a, you know, a launch pad related issue. So it's an awful lot we're going to cover. And I'm going to take everybody up in fighter jets and get people really uncomfortable in like some mountain, you know, tents and such, to make sure we got some good team building going on.
Yeah, that's something astronauts actually do as part of their training, right?
They do. So I've actually heard that from quite a few astronauts, that camping is a good way to, you know, get to know everybody really well. And we're going to do the same thing. Like, we want to make things like really uncomfortable here on Earth before we're uncomfortable in space.
Yeah, there's got to be that psychological training piece.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big part of like astronaut selection criteria. And it's going to be even more important, actually, for all the missions to come. And that's important about Inspiration 4, because, you know, from a spaceflight perspective, we're going into low Earth orbit, and we've been doing that for quite some time. It's about all the missions to follow, right? Like, we're going to have a lunar colony. We're going to have a Martian colony at some point. And we're going to learn an awful lot about from Inspiration 4 that's going to help shape those future missions to come. And one of them is, what happens when you're 6 months away from Earth? I mean, even when you look at the Apollo days, you know, they were only 3 days away from coming back home. You know, that's a lot different when you can cover the Earth with your thumb versus it's a tiny blue speck in the sky and it's 6 months away, right? So, yeah, there's an awful lot to learn. And some of it is certainly on the psychological side.
I love that. And you're leading me to the next question, which is, what do you expect or hope for the future of space travel and space tourism?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a true believer. I drank the Kool-Aid. I totally believe that there is, you know, maybe it's 50 or 100 years from now, that, you know, it'll be like a Jetson world, and people are going to jump in their rocket and you're going to go from one part of the Earth to the other in like 15 minutes instead of 15 hours. And that people, you know, families will be bouncing up and down on the moon in spacesuits and such. So it's just, you know, like they say at SpaceX, the world is a much more interesting place when people can go and dance among the stars. And I definitely believe we're going to get there. I don't know how soon. A lot of things can happen really fast after this mission is completed.
Well, they have not yet hit their fundraising goal of $200 million, but there's still plenty of time and you can get involved. In fact, Jared told me they have plans in the works. For example, they'll be sharing more about school fundraising campaigns, where the winning school will get to send a shoebox of stuff to space or send their science teacher to the launch pad. Or just, you can donate right now for a chance at some cool prizes. Learn more and donate at inspiration4.com. That's inspiration, the number 4.com. Then click Support St. Jude and join the adventure. Of course, we've linked to all of this in our episode notes at thenewsworthy.com. Thanks again to Haley and Jared. Good luck to them on launch day later this year. And we'll be telling you about the two other people in their all-civilian crew once they're announced in the coming weeks. Just tune into our regular episodes to hear about that and all the day's news in about 10 minutes each Monday through Friday. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.